I'm hoping that our winter is over after this week. 18 inches of snow. Here we go. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, or good middle of the night. For anybody who's going to watch this thing or listen to this one. Anyway, here we go tonight. We are looking at what Paul would call the perverted gospel of Christ. And notice he doesn't just say it's just a perverted gospel. He says it's a perverted gospel of Christ. So it has to be the gospel of Christ, but tweaked. So you take the gospel of Christ and you give it some other parts of the Bible that don't pertain to that particular gospel of Christ for today. How else would you pervert the gospel of Christ? If you take Christ out of it, or the Bible out of it, you don't have Christ. You just got a Hindu gospel to take your pick, whatever you've got. So this is a perverted gospel of Christ, and you get it by teaching the Gospels, early Acts, Hebrews to Jude, to people as application, which is what most of the preachers are trying to get you to do. If they teach it to you historically, that's fine. If they teach it to you for admonition and for learning, that's fine. But to make you think that those are things directed to you, they're perverting the gospel of Christ, which is what most, the pastors that I know in my years of preaching, which aren't that many, but know enough of them, knowing that some of them tell me that you're wrong if you don't preach the Great Commission. The Great Commission preached today is a perverted gospel of Christ. To try to teach people the Beatitudes is a perverted gospel of Christ. That's not what he's teaching to us today. It's that simple. You already know that, so get off of that. I keep talking about it all the time. And we've been going through this chart, and like I say, you probably won't do them all, but you can do them yourself. I encourage you to do them yourself. You'll find more verses than I'll find. We're going to take on a biggie one tonight. It's called the Holy Ghost. Or it's called the Holy Spirit of God. Or it's called the Holy Spirit. I pretty much come to the conclusion, I guess, that the Holy Ghost is who it is. And what we get from the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is a small s. Oh, it's a small H. Well, I got to fix that one, don't I? It's a small H with a capital S. I'm Spirit. The three times that Paul mentions the Holy Spirit of God, it's with a small H. So it's not part of his title. And yet we see when he talks about the Holy Ghost, it's with a capital H. Otherwise, he'd be a holy, ghost. And that's not what is his title. And the only time you see the Holy Spirit capitalized both times is one time in Luke. And that's it. And I know that every letter, every word, every phrase, every verse number, everything. Very good. Have you done this already? Hey, you're quick. I should sit back and let you preach this thing. And we need to make sure that we watch ourselves closely when we read these things. Because I recognize some verses. We say it just a little bit, tweak a little bit. So I have to be careful with that. So, let's get into this thing. Because here's the question that was given to me. If all things are lawful, and Christ doesn't impute anything to us, there is no law, and turn to Thessalonians. And so we can go off, all things are law. Now we realize all things aren't expedient. We realize that all things aren't don't edify. We realize the power involved, we should not do them. It caused somebody to stumble, we should not do them. Use for occasion of the flesh. Okay, when we do those things that we shouldn't be doing, then if God doesn't see that stuff, what's the fear then, or what's the problem, when it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. So if all this stuff is true, which it is, and the law is no longer there, I don't want to repeat myself, I'm good at that. And so what's the worry about quenching the Spirit? Well, it says quench not the Spirit. Okay, so then we realize that God doesn't put this stuff down. Our works will be burned at the judgment seat to see what comes out as motive and everything. For what does it say that what? What is it? I gotta make use the right word here. That was memory. He says of what? What sort it is, and I believe that that's referring to Paul's teachings. So, what's there to quench the Spirit of God then? The Spirit. Well, let's look it up. So you ask yourself, okay, then what is the work of the Holy Spirit in my life today? Now, a number of years ago, I read Dr. Ruckman's pamphlet on the work of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe I taught it back at Tushy a long time ago before we got into the Paul thing. And I'm sure that any verse we found, we said the Holy Spirit will do that to us or will teach us that or whatever. Going to John 16, He's our Comforter and He will teach us all things. We understand that. But now that we're looking at Paul like we do, and we set aside the Gospels other than history, and we don't go into the Peter and stuff other than that's the future, then what is the work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, in our lives today that we can quench? There must be something it wants to do or He wants to do in us, with us, and apparently we can quench it down even though all things are lawful. Does that make sense? Otherwise, why would Paul say, quench not the Spirit? Okay, so what we have to do then is we just have to look at the verses on Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, etc., etc., and look at where they're at, and realize how He still does that today. And my pages are all mixed up here. And let's see what's left for us today, or to us today. So there's page one, goes to, that's the sealed one. Now, we know that. We know that in the Old Testament days, nobody was sealed. It's 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Talking about in verse 21, anointed us with you in Christ, is God who hath sealed. So God has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, okay? And so we go to Ephesians 4:30 and we see it again that we're sealed. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. Here it goes. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then Ephesians 1:13 talks about ye were sealed to that holy, small h, Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Okay? So we see that we're sealed. By the way, we're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by God and given us the earnest of the Spirit and given us the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And we look at just a little bit careful there. We are sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit is sealed in us. So, I assume then, I guess, which I know is a dangerous thing to do, that in the Old Testament days, because the Holy Ghost wasn't sealed in them, then He would leave, which we know took place. But now that He's sealed in us, we can quench it, we can quench its work in our lives, and we can actually grieve it. Even though all things are lawful, and it's not imputed. And we know the works will be judged during the judgment seat. So is there chastisement involved here? No, there's not chastisement involved. It's just that the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved. So when it's grieved and quenched, means it's not going to be able to do what it wants to do within us, even though it's not chastisement. Does that make sense? That's actually a pretty serious thing to look into. So let's look into it. Let's go here to Acts chapter 1. Now this is not going to be a thorough, complete study again, kind of a thing, because it would take a couple of sermons and some bunch of books and et cetera, et cetera. We got our Bibles, you read it, and you will see it as you read. These are some things that'll perk some thoughts into us. And I think probably the most important perk is the fact that maybe some of the things that we're all going through in our lives, knowing that we're not going to get chastised, all things are lawful, maybe some of the stuff we're going through is the fact that we just flat quenched the Spirit of God. We've grieved it. So that's something to consider, something seriously to consider. But then again, if the Holy Spirit's going to work through us, through the Bible, which we know that, then He's going to want us to do the things that Paul wants us to do that pleases God. I mean, this is bottom line simple. Then the Spirit of God won't be grieved. That makes sense. And it won't be quenched if we're doing the right thing all the time. Yeah, but that means we're going to suffer persecution. Yes, it does. So just make sure you're following the Scriptures and make sure that when you're doing the right thing, you're pleasing God. It's not going to quench the Spirit of God. So it's going to still give us that joy and it's still giving us that strength through our Bible. And if we don't want to do that other stuff, then we're going to quench the Spirit of God. We're going to grieve it. Thus ends that sermon. But we better go through this and find some verses to show what I'm talking about here. Does that all make sense? I'm waiting. Does it make sense? Yes, there's one yes. Anyway. It's like so many times I would say something I thought was spectacular from a Bible verse, and I would look out and I'd see these faces looking at me like, okay. I just wanted to say, doesn't that excite you at all? Doesn't that help to have an understanding? You know? But anyway. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. We've got a bunch of verses. We're going to look at them all. Type it up and check them out. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, no, here's one more verse to really get excited about. I remember when I first read it for a sermon. John chapter 7, verse 39, which is another huge support for Paul's teachings. John 7, verse 39, where it says, But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So why do we want to go back to teachings that have nothing to do with the Holy Ghost? Anyway. But it was coming. It was coming. And John chapter 14 and 16 tells us all that. The Comforter. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, John 14, 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, we have the Bible. Now, what we're going to recognize here as we go through this stuff, we're going to find verses that people could claim that, well, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to me. Just like it says right here. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. So these people today then think they're anointed with this Holy Ghost. And you go to 1 John chapter 2 and you see where it says, the anointing of ye which have received of him abideth that you need not that any man teach you, because the Holy Ghost will teach them. Problem. None of that stuff is Paul. It's John and it's John. It's gospel days and it's tribulation. There's a little time in there called the dispensation of grace where that doesn't take place. But Paul does say, when that which is perfect has come, then all, you know, all that stuff, the knowledge, the tongues, the prophecy, will cease, which he has to be referring to what the Holy Ghost is going to teach everybody. And it's going to come out in this Bible. So if we want what the Holy Ghost is going to teach us, all things, and bring to all things to our remembrance, what Christ has said unto us, we've got it written down in our Bible. We don't even dare go by our feelings or our thoughts or our intuition. We've got a Bible. Is that why everybody hates the King James Bible so much? Even the guys who say they're King James only, which I know they're not, if you don't rightly divide it, you're just, it's like another Quran to you. And this is probably the essence of the difference of today's true Christianity, is that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in us, teaches us all these things through a King James Bible. And if a preacher thinks he's good enough that God's going to teach them something through him, he's going to, if he's preaching a King James Bible rightly divided. Then God will use that guy's mouth to show these people what this Bible says. And when you hear what this Bible says, and you see what it says, and it's written to you, you get the convincing, not the conviction, but the convincing of what the Holy Ghost wants to teach to us. And if we do things in our lives that are apparently wrong, even though, you know, they're not imputed, there's no law as such, but they follow those strings attached to our liberty, and it's not what Paul teaches us to please God, then we're going to quench and grieve. Does that make sense? Sure it does. So, sermon over. That was a quick one tonight. Look at your life, you see what you're doing, and it's going to burn at the judgment seat, but you know what? It might be just quenching the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It goes back and forth. Quenches the Holy Ghost, but this is Spirit that... Anyway. Here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. We got Ben there tonight, too, and Adriana. We got a youth department. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 2. You know, as I'm thinking about that, Adriana, good. I'm thinking about this like a parent, you know. You still love your kids, and they do something horribly wrong. They're still your name, it's still in your family, and you still love them. But you know, they keep it up long enough. Your spirit, your desire for them, your energy toward them gets quenched. It's not that you don't love them more, less, or anything like that. It just causes you to think, and it causes you, it grieves you. And you don't want to be used so that grieving of you inhibits your energy to do something for them when they're going to keep quenching on it. And that's the way it is. God's love is an unconditional love, but yet there's still reap what you sow. He allows it to take place. We got the judgment seat of Christ coming later. And the Holy Ghost, which is within us, inside us, is actually going to be held back. Just like we as parents can be held back, which I've done to my parents. Anyway, just some modern application there, especially at 13. Yeah. I wonder who he's referring to, Adriana. Adriana, you're only 13? You just started the teen years? Oh, Brian. Rough stuff. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Everything working? Yep. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. There's the word, through the Holy Ghost. Okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, which we know he did, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Look at Acts 2:4. Now I'm just going to read these verses, and we'll see the direction will come out of this thing eventually here. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the filled with the Holy Ghost, which with that Holy Ghost is the Spirit, and they get this utterance of speaking in other tongues. Not the jibber-jabber that we do today. This is in other tongues, other languages that those people recognize, other people wouldn't. Okay? Acts 2:33. Now remember, this is before Paul. This is gospel-y stuff. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. All this is taking place now. Chapter 2, verse 38, you know this one. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it just goes on. Look at chapter 5, verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. so they could be full of the Holy Ghost. And if they were, they were given the gift of the Holy Ghost, they were speaking in tongues, etc., etc. Go to Acts 7:55. This is Stephen. Acts 7:55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God. Okay, so if we have the Holy Ghost, can we look up into heaven and see what we need to see? Go down to Acts 9:31. Well, we could go through this whole thing here. Acts 8:15. Let's go to Acts 8:15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, and they laid their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, which is what goes on TV all the time. When people see that these guys are getting healed, they pile more money to those guys, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, we see this stuff supposedly taking place if you stay up late enough and watch these guys on TV or go to these fancy smancy churches that are in debt because they can't pay their buildings, and they'll whine about it later, you know. And so, how does this work? Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't understand rightly dividing, you'll be in the Pentecostal system before you know it. Oh, wait a minute. That's for all the Baptists. That's where everybody's going. They're talking like God gave them this, God told them this, God told them that. And then they're not going to their book like they used to. And if they do, they rightly divide it wrongly by going verse by verse. And as a result, when you combine all this stuff, you can't see the differences unless you're taught the Baptist doctrine. Well, what if you're taught the Pentecostal doctrine? You can write into a King James Bible and prove it. And even Paul tells you how to do it. They don't dare do that chapter on 1 Corinthians 14 because they're not doing it like Paul said. That's where the women are to be silenced in churches, and that is not what's going on in those tongue-speaking churches, I'll guarantee that. They don't follow Paul's rule. Even the Pentecostals don't like Paul's teachings on speaking in tongues. So, if I could get anything across to anybody who's listening to this, maybe for the first time, about this mixing up stuff, you can't mix the gospel teachings and Peter's and Jude and Hebrews and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, because you mix them with Paul, you won't see the separation that needs to separate from the Antichrist church coming up. Because the Antichrist church is going to use speaking in tongues. Revelation 13 tells us that. 2nd Thessalonians tells us that. The Antichrist is going to use music. We know that from Daniel chapter 3 and 4. We see what's going on. But if you mix this stuff, you'll never see it coming. And you'll have another Jesus, and you'll be listening to a minister of righteousness preaching your righteousness, not God's righteousness. So, anyway, let's get back on trail here. Acts 9:31. This is after Paul, and I just kind of gets his start. He's done killing people and everything. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So the Comforter, obviously, is the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14 as well. Okay? So, do we get our comfort from the Holy Ghost? Just in the magical sense? I hate to use the word magic, but in the magical sense? Or is there something different today? Okay, look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Now, this is chapter 10, but yet it's Peter. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Just when they heard the words. They didn't have to make any kind of confession, any kind of a salvation thing. It just hit them. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. But they heard the word. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, there you go. There you go. We can still speak in tongues, etc., etc., based on Acts chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, that kind of thing. Rightly dividing has to separate the truth from the fiction from the non-fiction, or the truth from the lie, and it separates that the Pentecostals are wrong dispensationally. And the devil knows how to use them. Again, Revelation 13, Revelation 16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that the devil is going to be doing this stuff. And he's already doing it. It takes the King James Bible to fix a Pentecostal, but if you're not, they don't understand righty dividing, they can use the King James Bible to prove that they're doing right. Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay? 11:24. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. And the verse chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, words, huh? Separate Barnabas and Saul, who were going to call them. Acts 13, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and see, we hear this all the time. The Holy Ghost told me to go to Ohio. I never said that. Because if the Holy Ghost told me to go to Ohio, then I'll tell you, I really messed up when I got there because we had to leave. And it was hell on earth for me. So, do we get that? You got guys all the time saying, God called me, the Holy Ghost called me. Yeah, that's because you get this back. That's why you guys are going Pentecostal. Not you guys, I mean people out there. You're going Pentecostal. You're acting just like a Pentecostal when you say, God told me to do this and God told me to go there. And God, you know, you have an interest. You have an excitement there. You have a, you know, that's fine. There's a reason we can see yourself going there or whatever. But this being sent stuff is Pentecostal-y stuff today. It's early Acts. Even though this is the time of Paul, remember, there's Jews in the crowd and all these signs and wonders are still taking place and we don't have a Bible. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They didn't just do something that was joyful, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, Acts 19. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, that right there is a good verse for 1 Corinthians 13, 10, 8-9, 8-10, because tongues and prophecy get shut down. The Holy Ghost doesn't do that anymore to us. Is that what it is? Or does he do it to us through a different manner now? I'll show you. Well, we all know the answer to that one, but Acts 20:28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Well, you want to use that verse, go ahead. But the modern pastor shouldn't be using that verse because you guys aren't feeding the church of God at all. You're trying to get people saved, as you say. And you're trying to make that the only reason to come to church is to get saved or to bring somebody to church to get saved. Da-da-da-da. Soul winning. We got more people coming. Are they saved? Are they truly saved? Are you feeding them to help them grow? What do you feed them with? Paul. He's our master feeder, master builder. He's the one that you need to feed the people with. Anyway. Acts 21, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, there you go. I mean, yes, the Holy Ghost was alive and well and spoke to these people. Acts 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. One word, he said. Probably the word was walk, W-A-L-K. But anyway, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias to prophet unto our fathers. So, am I speaking the Holy Ghost tonight? These are the verses. These pastors claim that stuff. Well, yes, I am, if I'm reading scriptures. Everything else but scriptures are my words. Now, from here on out, let's go to Romans. And let's look at it from our standpoint today. Keep in mind, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Now we have the Spirit of God. We'll get to that in a minute here. So what have we got here? We got comfort that the Holy Spirit gives. Okay, we get that from our Bible now. We're filled with joy. We get that from our Bible. From our reading the book, He will give us that joy. He will guide us. Should I have gone to Ohio? Apparently not. Would I have been able to figure out my Bible? I've thought about that. Yes, I could have. I could have known that you don't go someplace like that and start something with Paul in a time where everything nobody wants to hear Paul. How stupid was I? I'm going to go to another town, a town that's full of Catholics, and I'm going to try to start a church in a time in the time of the dispensation where it's almost over. Nobody wants to hear about the goodness of God. They're caught in their religion, and they're caught in their doctrine, and they're caught in their pastor's popish footsteps. I should have known better than to try that. Was I supposed to stay there? Must have ended up here. These are some things we get to. Okay, I'm just looking for something here. Comfort. Yep. Okay. Let's keep going here. Romans. Now we're Romans chapter 5. Now this is our stuff right here now. And remember, it's got to come to us through our Bible, not through some magical dream or prophesying or speaking in tongues or some kind of a knowledge thing that comes out of your Bible. No, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost is in us and gets to us through this Bible. So what's the bottom line here? We quench the Holy Ghost when we don't do what a rightly divided Bible would have us do. Now, we don't get chastised for it. The work that we're doing is not a sin. It's a bad work, and it'll be burned in the judgment seat of Christ. So we're off the hook. But yet, it still quenched the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is that the Holy Ghost can do to us through that Bible, or for us, or with us, that can be quenched. And it grieves Him, because He can't leave. Okay, let's look at some more verses here. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Looks like we can quench in our mind, in our own thoughts, the love of God. How many people live the world and then they eventually say, I don't think God exists? They've lost in their mind God's love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You stay out of your Bible long enough, you'll dump God. But if you stay in that Bible, it'll bear witness with you that you're reading the truth and the life that you need to live. I say the truth in Christ. This is Paul. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience, meaning Paul's conscience, bearing him witness in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost tells him he's saying the right stuff. So, we can get the bearing witness in the Holy Ghost by reading Paul's stuff because we know that stuff is true. It's not a lie. Paul's conscience was kept clean by the Holy Ghost. So as we read Paul's stuff, we're reading something that the Holy Ghost says is fine. It's the truth in Christ. And it bears witness with us as we read. Why doesn't it always bear witness with us? Lots of reasons. We are so religion-oriented in our brain that it's hard for us to let go. That's one reason. Another reason could be it's me that's showing people stuff. I mean, who am I? I don't say things right. I say things wrong. I get my personality involved. I get my own lashing out sometimes, my own flesh involved. I could quench the Spirit in a sermon very easily. I guess I'm told that anyway. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, okay, then if we don't stick in that book and keep up to tabs with the Holy Ghost, then this righteousness and this peace and this joy gets quenched. So then maybe some of those things that would be the right things to do, we don't want to do, and so we don't do them. And sometimes we lose some peace in our life. and joy. You know, you've heard me say, we go back to Jeremiah, I think it's 33:11 and Jeremiah chapter 25 or something, things that God is going to take out of this world during the tribulation. And if I remember correctly, I guess, which I know I probably don't because I never remember anything correctly, even stories of my own life, I don't remember correctly. Just shameful. 33:11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. That's all being taken away. And what's happening today? We have no joy. I mean, there's that stuff that's been read there, it's coming, it's happening. So we can show people what's going on with the economy. We can show people what's happening with the gold standard. We can show people what's happening with our government, et cetera, et cetera. But let's show them what's going on in our country according to the Bible. We're losing that stuff. The job thing, the sound of the mill, that's in Jeremiah 25, I think. All these things are going to be gone. And the joy is missing. Even amongst Christians. Unless you're a false Christian, and there your joy is not joy, it's a happiness, and it's based on your flesh and your money, your God money. What makes us happy? Money. I continually need money here. People keep continually sending, and it just amazes me that people still do. And none of it is ever spent worthless. It's gone to a cause, and it's gone to pay for stuff. It's just an amazing thing. But the modern Christian out there needs to have this money so they can do all the games, and they can buy all these books and all these movies, go to these movies and buy all these fancy clothes and go on these trips and these missionary missions, all this kind of stuff. And they're happy, but the joy is missing. How do you know that? Well, just wait till things get harder in this country. And you're going to watch these modern Christians pray more. You're going to watch them picket more. You're going to watch them get all upset. And yet you're going to watch them think their church is growing. And the Antichrist is just having a party with that stuff. But we have the Holy Ghost that's going to teach us through this Bible. And he's going to tell us in Jeremiah 33, not written to us, but it sure is there for us. We know what's going on. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. We know what's going on. This Paul stuff is not wanted. People do not want to hear the goodness of God. I was thinking of writing a sermon I better write it down. I'll forget to do it here. That what is so wrong, with what Paul has to say? Come on. What is wrong with Paul teaching what he teaches? Give me something, somebody, somewhere out there in this world. What's wrong with the fact that Christ doesn't impute your sins? What's wrong with him taking care of the law? If you put your faith in him, he'll give you his faith because they got him through the law. What's wrong with spiritual circumcision? What's wrong with the teachings? I mean, how can Paul be so hated, you know? Hated, anyway. Okay. Romans 15:13. I want to take a drink of my water here. Notice my cough is gone. I quit yawning. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, that tells me that our hope can be quenched. That joy and peace in believing. We can lose that peace because of our life. If we're not following Paul's manner of life, or if we're not striving towards it, or if we're not loving people in the proper biblical way, not just loving everybody for the sake of loving, but trying to do it in a proper way. It's a hard thing when Paul says, listen, these people that are going against this stuff, you know, you need to avoid them, and eventually he tells us to avoid them. That's a hard thing. I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. Okay, then don't until you know for a fact that you need to. That's my answer to that thing. Now, what am I looking at? I'm going to grab some. Look at it. What am I looking up here for? Joy, peace, and believing. You should be bound in hope through the power. I was going to look up something. I don't know why I grabbed my Bible, so I'll look it up. Oh, well. Let's go to Romans 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ, that's Paul, to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Okay? Of course it's the gospel of God. So is the gospels. So is the law. So is the tribulation laws, obey the commandments. And that's all the gospel of God. But during this time to the Gentiles, there's a segment of all that God teaches has to be taught a certain way, and that's through Paul's teaching from the risen Savior. I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. So it has to be the gospel of God that makes the Gentiles acceptable. And the law won't make them acceptable. And asking Jesus into your heart won't make it acceptable. Etc., etc. Has to be the way Paul teaches it. Then it says, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So I'm so glad our sanctification isn't quenched and grieved and shut down. As they say, amen, yes. Listen, that's a solid final thing. You can't change all that. Anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, I know people have a heart, they think that there's my personal, private teaching that gets us out of all this stuff in Corinthians, is 1 Corinthians 13:10. But it's true. Corinthians has to be rightly divided with the King James Bible. There are things in 1 and 2 Corinthians that take place that no longer take place today except through a Bible. And folks have a hard time with that. I guess they don't believe that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is the King James Bible, I guess. Some people think it's the people. Some people think it's Jesus Christ's second coming. And that way, and if that's the case, everything that takes place in Corinthians should already take place. Paul should still be able to heal. We still should have healings. Touch somebody's handkerchief. Want to go through my wastebasket and touch my Kleenex? You get healed. Yeah, right. There's the communion thing right in there, see? All that stuff is in there. God given them knowledge. God given them the stuff. The Holy Ghost teaching these people, giving them a peace directly through from the Holy Ghost. We have a Bible that has that today. Again, must be why the devil and people hate it so much. I forget who I was talking to. I think it was Mark. Didn't you say that you're around some people, they don't care what Bible you use, but you just can't bring your King James Bible here kind of a thing? So why? Why do you all have such a hatred towards this Bible, not any other Bible? What Bible does your church use? NIV. Okay. Why don't you tell the ASV people to stay out with their Bibles? Just the King James. There's something about this book, you know? Anyway. 1 Corinthians 2:13 now. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Okay, now, that's we are taught today by the Holy Ghost, who's in us, through this King James Bible. Why is that so hard for people to grab onto? Yeah, they won't even argue, Mark says they won't even argue for the NIV, just against the King James. Well, if you really wanted to make them mad, go after their music. Then you would have stirred them up big time. It says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, which is what we do with the King James Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19, just for the record here, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And we know that it's sealed in us. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can say those words. Just because you speak those words, does that make you saved? Well, of course not. But by the Holy Ghost. But we have the Spirit of God in us, so we can honestly say that and mean that. And these other people that say that and don't mean that don't have the Bible, the Word of God. So as a result, they don't have the Holy Ghost, and they can't say that. They can mouth the words, but they can't say that Jesus is the Lord, because to them, Jesus is not the Lord, because it's not the Holy Ghost that's telling them this. Does that make sense? It's a tough one to word out in my words. Go back to how God said it. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So King James Bible makes it possible for us to say Jesus is the Lord. NIV people can't say that because their Bible doesn't even teach that. Takes away the deity, da-da-da-da, little stuff there. 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. There it is again, by the Holy Ghost. Here's one of my favorite ones now. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You want communion? You sit down and you read your Bible. That's what communion is. In those days, they didn't have a Bible. They took communion, they took the Lord's Supper, so they'd remember this stuff. And the Holy Ghost would teach them, and it would remind them these things. Now we have the Bible, the Holy Ghost through us, through this Bible to us. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For a gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now, with that King James Bible, we have the in the Holy Ghost of that King James Bible, there's a power there. And there's an assurance in there. Is there power to make us stop doing the things? There's the words. And yet we get the strength of His grace. We get the guidance of the Holy Ghost how to stop the stuff we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. But He also knows we're not going to stop. Paul never stopped everything. But it's in that Bible for us today. Paul had a one-on-one relationship with Christ. I hate the word relationship. It's a modern term. He had a one-on-one face-to-face with Christ, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him all the time. Does the Holy Ghost speak to you all the time? When you read your Bible. When a verse comes back in your mind while you're driving down the highway or doing something, you're talking to somebody, and you're teaching them the King James truth or something, whether you see? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I was going to say the next verse, verse 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So see, there's things that we can quench. There's things that we do that grieve the Holy Ghost. But it's not imputed. It's going to burn out in the judgment seat of Christ. But in the meantime, the Holy Ghost that is in us doesn't want you doing that. But your flesh says, "Oh, that's okay, go ahead and do that." So the battle is with our, what does Paul say? Romans chapter 7. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 real quick. I want to make sure I say it right here. Romans chapter 7. He says he's a wretched man. "Who shall deliver me from the body?" Because his body's getting him to do stuff yet. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So now we're going to know after tonight what's robbing us of some of our joy and power and comfort and peace. Well, let's see here. Pop on a movie. Pop on a TV thing. Go someplace. Go to a truck show where the music is horrible. Do something that your kids shouldn't be at. I mean, the list goes huge. And we say, we can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. We can't. I know it. I agree. We really can't anymore. But life is life, and it stinks. And he talks about how this life is. It's a perverted world. And he gives us the dispensation of grace, knowing that, like Paul says, there's some things that we're just going to do, and we lose. That's just the way it is. Grace gives us the strength to stand up in the next morning and go on with our day. The person that gets interfered with all this stuff is each other. We have enough pride, and we have enough judgmentalism in us that we can see somebody else and we say, you know what, you ought not be doing that. Or if we do it ourselves and we don't want to do it, let me put it this way, we don't want to do it ourselves, but we see somebody else doing it, then we get mad at them. You know, you shouldn't be doing that because I'm not doing that. After a while, you're going to be doing that. I've seen more time, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, there are people that would not ever do what they're doing this day. Their modesty has changed, their mouth has changed, their activities have changed, what they watch has changed, the games they play have changed, the time they waste has changed, their thoughts have changed. We go down. God knows that we're going to go down. That's why when the people are done, Gentiles are done with the goodness of God, He's done with the Gentiles. Can't be that far off. The economy's bad. Earthquakes, radioactivity, I know all that stuff. And I've watched some good, there's a good thing to watch, it's called NewAmerica2011.com. A guy does a really good story about money. It's not what you would expect. It's very interesting. We are about to get hammered here in the economy, probably this year. I mean, the guy's probably right. But you know what it is? It's Romans 11:22. That's what's taking place. It's Jeremiah 33:11 all over again. It's 1 Thessalonians 2, and yet he tells us how to handle it in chapter 2, verse 13 to the end. This is what's important to us. That's what people need to hear. They don't want to hear it. Now what am I at? I'm just winging on another one there, aren't I, Grandma? Grandma will send you the one video called Agenda. You watch that thing and you will see what has happened. Not what is happening, but what has happened. It's amazing what's going on out there. If you don't want it, come to South Dakota. We're probably the last ones that are going to go down. But anyway, I don't think everybody even knows South Dakota exists. How are we doing for time? Okay. Now, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and he says, and ye became followers of us. How do we follow them? King James Bible again. You know, sure, Paul didn't write Romans. He spoke it, and Onesimus, is that who it is? Wrote it down. He penned it. So Paul wrote it. You know, people want to change that thing around. Looking at Romans, let's see, Romans, the last verse, last chapter, I think, says, I think it's Onesimus, isn't it? Nobody's going to type because it's a word you can't spell without looking it up. Or is that Tychicus? Tychicus, I think it's Tychicus. Tychicus, whatever. Tychicus. Written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe. Oh, there we go. That one was sent by Phoebe. Maybe it's Galatians or Ephesians. Here, let's check out Ephesians. Here we go, Ephesians. Written from Roman to the Ephesians by Tychicus. Tychicus. Yeah, Paul, it's still his words, Paul. So if you want to become followers of them, us, get that King James Bible open up. And of the Lord. This is what they think, we're following Paul, but not the Lord. No, we are following the Lord. I'll just wing another verse here. Romans chapter 16, I think it is. They still think that we just reject the rest. No, we're not the mid-Acts crowd that rejects the rest of the Bible. We read Genesis to Revelation. We just apply Paul stuff. Yeah, it's Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's still Paul. We need to hear about this Jesus Christ based on Paul. And then we go back and we read the gospel to see what it is that he fulfilled the law. And then he takes care of the law. And Paul's teaching show us how all things are lawful. And yet we're finding out tonight that we can quench and grieve the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's in us. Now, let's finish up with this. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And here's how we can fix this whole thing. Titus chapter 1, of the three famous T's. Where it says, not by works of righteousness. We all know this verse. Everybody throws this one out. Verse 4 is worth reading. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's Paul. Why are these people rejecting the love, the kindness and love of God is through Paul's teachings? So the devil takes the Paul people and twists them around with who's arguing, what church, when did the church begin, and blah, 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 blah. And you miss all the stuff that pleases God. Now, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, renewing, okay? Do a little word study on renew. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we going to get that mind renewed? Through a King James Bible, which is taught to us by the Holy Ghost. And that will prove what is a good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's your personal will. What, you want to work at Target? You want to work, ladies, do you need to work here? Should you work here? That's not the will of God. So at a certain place, what's the will of God? What Paul teaches. And the will of God is for us to follow Paul. We did that sermon a couple years ago. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we quench the Spirit. So we quench the Holy Ghost in our lives. So we grieve it. We renew that mind. We get into that Bible, and we're fresh and clean from that moment on. That's the strength that we have. Ephesians 4:23 says again, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where do we get this knowledge from? 1 Corinthians 13:10 tells me that if, unless God has given it to us like he did in the Corinthians, we've got a Bible. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, we don't get this renewing in knowledge. We don't get this renewing in, in the spirit of our mind. We don't get our inward man renewed unless we read that Bible rightly divided. And I'm not the class. I'm not the good guy here that's doing it. I'm not the Paul guy. I'm not Mr. Paul. I'm not the guy that does all this stuff, right? I've got a life. I'm teaching in a public school. Probably shouldn't be there. Where else am I going to teach? I'm not saying anything to the kids that's going to get me fired, but I'm saying some things that I'll plant a few seeds later, maybe. No different than anybody else when they talk about with life in general. We should be doing that at work. If you can talk about it, you talk. I'm not ashamed of it. I want to use wisdom. 61 years old, you're not going to find another job anywhere else. Then, look at this. Hebrews chapter 6. I hear my battery clicking. This is my old battery. It seems to be working better than my new one. Don't even use that, my battery backup. Hebrews chapter 6. Finish it up with this. Hebrews chapter 6. It's not written to us. And you're going to be glad it's not written to us. Anybody that preaches Hebrews to try to fix their congregation is using the tribulation guilt trip stuff. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. No, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and remained partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance. It's impossible. That goes against everything Paul says to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? And these guys preach Hebrews to everybody. Oh, it's just amazing what goes on in our churches today. Okay. Well, there you go. There's why we don't have our joy all the time. There's why we let... Well, I know what it is. Look at 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Let's check it out here. This is why Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is it 2 Corinthians? I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He was able to say, yeah, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So, and it goes on, that these are hard times. There are hard things going on within our families, each one of us, difficult things. But Paul's teachings are still the answer, and the hope and the joy and the peace that should be there is because we're doing things that's quenching the Holy Ghost and grieving the Holy Ghost. And don't turn this into a stop sinning message that Jesus put out there to the Jews. But we ought to be concentrating what we can do to please God. And it's more than just a list of do's and don'ts. It's an attitude towards those who aren't. And it's an attitude towards those who are and you're not. All sorts of things come into this picture. So, there you have tonight's perverted gospel of Christ compared to Paul's gospel of Christ. And you take the Holy Ghost stuff and you get yourself into Pentecostal movement in seconds. And if you stick with Paul, you got battles, but we have the strength to win because of his grace and because of the Holy Ghost that's in us. Let's not quench and grieve it as much as we have been. Make that a stride in our life. Every time we fall down, God's grace is to get us up. It's not to use His grace so we can keep doing the stuff that quenches the Spirit of God. So, can you imagine what goes on in these churches that are preaching the Paul thing and the music they have going on? That music quenches the Spirit of God. It quenches the Holy Ghost in these people. You got to do a study on music. I know that. We'll do that sometime. Anyway, there you go. We'll see you folks on Wednesday night.